Would open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 is where we'll be taking most of our lesson this morning. When we talk about the subject of baptism, it's a subject that's misunderstood by a lot of people today. And sometimes it's good to review some things about baptism that we don't necessarily think about a whole lot. If I ask you a question and ask you how many baptisms are found in the New Testament, you may or may not know the answer to that. And there are a lot of baptisms mentioned in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. But what's important to know is that when Paul refers to baptism in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8, he says that there is one baptism. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. And looks like computer doesn't want to wake up. So, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. We'll start in verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in the one hope of that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You know, some people, when they think about baptism, they think, well, I've already been baptized, I don't need to think about it anymore. And others, they think, well, it's not necessary, so I don't really need to know anything. Well, you know, what is this one baptism? It's evidently important because Paul mentions it as such. And so we want to look at that this morning. And our study will begin in Matthew chapter 3 as we read this morning in the reading. What we see happening in Matthew chapter 3 verses 1 through 8 is the baptism of John. John the Baptist was preaching repentance, and we see that he's baptizing a lot of people. It says in verse 1, these days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, which makes his path straight. When I was young, my dad used to have a kids class, and we sat on the front row a few minutes on Sunday night, and this was always one of the questions, who was the forerunner of Jesus? John the Baptist. And that's the role of John the Baptist. He's to prepare the way of the Lord. And John the Baptist, as it's described here in Matthew chapter 3, was somewhat of a character and very noticeable. It says that he wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. And Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when many of the Pharisees and Sadducees came into his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And so, those that listened to John's preaching, it says, they confessed their sins. John's baptism was in water. It required repentance from the people. And it was a baptism that was approved by God at this time. These people needed to do this, but is it something that we need? And the answer is no, it's not what we do today. We're not baptized in the manner that John baptized. John's baptism was from God, but it's something that's no longer active. And one thing that we need to consider here is that John's baptism was for the Jews, and that would exclude everybody here that I'm aware of, and it was limited in nature. This one baptism that Paul spoke of would be for both Jews and Gentiles. And John's baptism was to help prepare the Jews for Jesus. If you look in verse 11, he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so he's saying that there's something else that's coming. Jesus is coming, and I'm not worthy to be mentioned alongside of Jesus. And the one of the main reasons that I know that John's baptism is not for today is because in Acts chapter 19, we see that there are some that were baptized in John's baptism, and they were told that they needed to do other things. If you look at Acts chapter 19 and verse 1, it says, "It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said, 'No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said, 'Into what were you baptized?' They said, 'Into John's baptism.' And Paul said, 'John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who is to come after him, that is Jesus.'" And so, what we see here is that Paul commanded these disciples who had already been baptized, they'd already been immersed in water, because that's what baptism means. And although they already had that, Paul said, that's not what you need to do. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. So if this was the one baptism, then why would they need to be baptized again? Again, Paul references there is one baptism in Ephesians chapter 4. So this is not it. Also, in our text in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, we see that it mentions that Jesus, John says, is going to baptize with the Spirit. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so the baptism of the Spirit is another baptism that we see. So, is Holy Spirit baptism for us? A lot of people that you talk to might say yes. And many do say yes. But the Holy Spirit says no. Let's look in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1.
Rex, I'm hoping that Elisha will come and touch my computer today. It's acting like it wants to cooperate, but very slowly.
Acts chapter 1. Starting in verse 1, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all the Jews, all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. In verses, let me continue reading here. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So you can tell from this account here is what they were waiting for. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit, and that is something that they did receive on the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were baptized with the Holy Spirit and began to preach the gospel as they were given those words to do. Verse 8 helps us to find that. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And so what you see here is this promise of the Holy Spirit is something that was given to specific people. Jesus administered this. He administered it from heaven. But this baptism of the Holy Spirit was a promise. It was never a command. There was nothing that they could have done to have received that. They had to wait for that to be given to them. And if we were commanded to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, we would have no say in that matter. We would not be able to do that, because that was something that was given by God to the apostles. So Jesus administered this. So this Holy Spirit baptism is not the one baptism that Paul says that we are all to be part of. It's not the one baptism for all men in the age that we live in today. Also, in Matthew chapter 3, John mentions the baptism of fire. He mentioned that Jesus would also baptize in fire. And John spoke some strong words to the Pharisees and Sadducees who had come to be baptized. he said that their hearts and their motives weren't right. Let's read again Matthew 3, verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." And so when John described them as vipers, or he described them as snakes, was that a compliment? Now, I've heard just recently somebody describing a particular salesperson that he is a snake. And they did not mean it as a compliment. They meant that you couldn't trust him. And when John describes these religious elite as snakes, he is revealing the kind of character that they had. When a wildfire would break out, or farmers would burn, you know, branches or leaves or whatever, you know, sometimes snakes will escape from that. They'll be driven out from their place and then forced to flee. And John is asking these men, who gave you the idea to escape God's wrath? Who gave you the idea to escape God's coming judgment on sinners? And what he's saying is that you need to truly repent. You need to truly repent instead of pretending like you do. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, he says, "Do not presume to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' Before I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And so John is saying, you can't rely on Abraham being your father. You can't rely on being sons of Abraham when it comes to your salvation. Judgment is going to come upon you unless you repent. And when John refers to this baptism of fire, it is something that is meant as a judgment. Again, look at verse 10. "Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Verse 11, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And in verse 12, "His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into barns, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So every reference here to fire, to me, this is not something that I want. I don't want to be baptized with fire. So what is it? Well, I think it's very clear that this is judgment that God is bringing down on those that are unfruitful, on the unfruitful Jews in particular. So what can we learn from that? Years ago, my father was having a class with someone and was talking to them about baptism. And this particular woman misunderstood baptism. And he was referencing this passage and telling her that Holy Spirit baptism is not for today. And she argued and said, "I've already received that." And he said, "The baptism of fire is judgment." She said, "I've already received that too." And he said, "I don't think you understand what that is, because you would not want that. You would not want the baptism of fire. It is a judgment." And so that is what is being said here. The baptism of fire is certainly not what Paul was referencing in Ephesians chapter 5 when he says that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That is not the baptism that I want. The fire baptism is judgment upon those who are unwilling to repent. So at the end of Matthew chapter 3, we find Jesus being baptized. Jesus came to be baptized with John, by John. And Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15 tells us why Jesus did this. Because we know that Jesus didn't need to repent. Verse 15. Let's back up just a little bit. Back to verse 13. "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him." John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for this is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him, and behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So the Apostle John knew that Jesus didn't need to be baptized for repentance. In John chapter 1 and verse 30, we have another reference to this. John chapter 1 verse 30, This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing him with water that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And so John recognized Jesus for who he was, and it was revealed to him. And so the question is, this baptism that Jesus received was for a specific purpose. The question is this the baptism that's for us? And the answer certainly would be no here. This is not the one baptism, because John's baptism was for the remission of sins. The apostles received Holy Spirit baptism so they could teach men how to be delivered from their sins by Jesus. The baptism of fire would be for those who never repented of their sins. And the baptism of Jesus had nothing to do with Jesus committing any sin. He was sinless. Jesus' baptism was for a specific purpose, to reveal who He was and to begin His ministry. Jesus' baptism is not for us. So that tells us what baptism is not, or what baptism is not for us. So which one is it? Well, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5 again tells us that there's one body, one faith, and one baptism. Let's look at Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verses 3 through 5. We read this just a few minutes ago, and this is when Paul encounters these men who said they had been baptized into the baptism of John. Acts chapter 19, verses 3 through 5, he said, Into what were you baptized? They said, Into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So those that were baptized by John were not being baptized into Jesus. But Jesus had not been completely revealed at that time. And clearly, when Paul tells these men about Jesus and they're baptized in the name of Jesus, that's because the baptism of John was not the same thing. So the one baptism that is to be authorized to be administered for all of us is to be in the name or in the authority of Jesus. It requires faith in Jesus as the Lord and Christ. Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So it requires faith in Christ. It also requires a person having a repentant heart. We see that on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and those men and people that were present realized who they had killed and what they had done. They were pricked in their hearts and wanted to do something to correct that. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, after they asked, What shall we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so again, you see here that these people on the day of Pentecost are told the same thing that we see in Acts chapter 19, that they are to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Also, Romans chapter 10 tells us that we need to confess Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Also in Romans chapter 10, chapter 2, verse 38 again, we see that is the baptism that is coupled with this faith that these people had. They caused them to want to do something, to want to repent, and they were told what it is that they needed to do. And 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 tells us, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not a removal of the dirt of the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so you do see here in the New Testament that there are several different kinds of baptism that are mentioned. But there's really only one. It's baptism in the name of Jesus Christ that's going to do anything for you. Certainly, I don't want the baptism of fire. That's very clearly judgment. This is the baptism that puts us in a relationship with God. It's the one that will please God and will help us to have a home in heaven. Again, this is a subject that for many is very confusing for some reason. But it's very clear when you look at these different types of baptism that we see referenced in Matthew chapter 3. But these other baptisms are not in effect today. But it's baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, having your faith in Him, knowing that He's the Son of God and that He was raised from the dead, and that He is the one that is the perfect sacrifice. That's what the men in Acts chapter 19 were told. Yeah, you've already gone underwater. And today, many people would say, well, you know, I didn't believe in Jesus at the time, or I wasn't, you know, I was baptized in some other church, and I didn't really understand what the gospel required of me. And I tell them the same thing that Acts chapter 19 said. Well, if you weren't baptized for forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, those in Acts chapter 19 were not told, well, you know, it's the same thing. You know, you already did that. There's no reason for us to find some water and do it again. They were told to go and do that, and they did that joyfully. And certainly that should be our attitude today. If there's any question that whether what we did to be saved is different than what we see in the New Testament, when we understand what the New Testament says, we shouldn't delay and put off doing what it is that we see. If there's any doubt, go and do what is right. And so the question is, if we haven't done that, you know, why is it that we wait? That's one thing that's very obvious when you look at the examples of conversion in the book of Acts. That every time the gospel is preached and somebody understood what it is that they need to do, usually it says they immediately went out and they were baptized. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, when Ananias came to Saul of Tarsus and talked to him, he said, why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. There was no reason to wait. Delay can be deadly when it comes to doing what it is that you understand that you need to do, because we have no promise of tomorrow. When we understand the gospel, when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we know that we are sinners and we want to repent of that, when we want to make that right, don't put off doing that, because that is the only way to have that correct relationship with God so that you can have a hope in heaven. I hope these things for you will be useful, even if it is a review for you, because it may help you in talking to others who are confused about the different baptisms that they see in the New Testament. Which one is for me? And I hope that you'll be able to take what we've talked about today and explain that and apply it to your lives as well. And always remember not to delay doing what it is that you need to do to have that correct relationship with Jesus Christ. If we can help you in any way to do that, we'd invite you to come while we stand together and sing.